Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage, a weekly show designed to replace the lies culture has told us about marriage and family with the raw truth found in the Bible. The premise is simple. Divorce is rising, families are falling, and the culture and even the church seems to be more confused than ever. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to have a Christian marriage. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we're going to be talking about
how a husband can help his wife become a biblical woman.
Yeah, so that took us a few times to actually do that, but
We nailed it that time.
I don't know why this one was so hard to get started. Welcome to today's episode of Ultimate Marriage, and I'm excited to chat with you guys again. If you guys are watching on YouTube, today's the first day that, or the first episode that I don't have a Band-Aid on my head. If you're not watching on YouTube, then you don't get to see this, but I had skin cancer removed. So if this is your first episode, that's what's going on or going on in my head. I don't have like just this random scar in my face.
Yeah. He didn't cut himself shaving.
No. Yeah. Shaving my forehead. I got a furry face. a couple things just before we get started on today's conversation, what we're going to be talking about. If you are watching the show on YouTube, know that we have a podcast of this. If you're watching or listening to this on iTunes or a podcast, know that we have an episode on YouTube. We actually put every episode filmed here on YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, would you please subscribe to the channel? We'd love that. And also, if you're on iTunes, would you please leave a review? You don't even have to write anything. Just do the stars that are in the app. And thank you guys so much. We've got, I think, as of this morning, I checked 298 reviews.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's awesome. Especially, what, this is our fourth
episode? It's our fourth episode.
Yeah. That's crazy. Thank you so much for leaving the reviews. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, because there was literally shows that have been doing like 50 shows and they have like 500 reviews. So this is a big deal. And also those reviews, they really do help the exposure of the content of the show on iTunes. We're almost hitting the top 100 podcasts in religion and spirituality. I expect that maybe this will happen after this episode. So guys, keep giving those reviews. They really do help the content get out there. Okay, so today's episode, I'm going to be hitting the men a little bit hard today. It's actually going to be focused on the men. And the scripture that we're going to be talking about is the famous passage of Proverbs 31, as in the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, you guys might be thinking, wait, I thought we were talking to the men. We are talking to the men. Yeah. And the original intended audience for this passage of scripture, it's not actually the women, it's actually the men. And you can actually see this from the instructive language that you see at the first verse and the last verse. And so it's Proverbs 31:10 is the first passage for the virtuous woman, or the Proverbs 31 woman. That starts in verse 10 and it ends in verse 31. And so there's instructive language that is there in the very beginning. It says in verse 10, an excellent wife. Who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels. Again, it's talking to men. It's asking the men a question. An excellent wife. Who can find her? What type of man can find this woman? She's far more precious than jewels, and jewels are hard to find. I mean, this is what the instructive language is saying. This is written to men. And then in verse 31, it says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. It's again instructing the men. It's instructing the husbands to give their wives their due. That's what, again, this is not a passage of scripture that's talking to the women. It's actually talking to the men. Now, it's about women, but it's not for women. It's actually for the men. I mean, can the women glean from it? Absolutely. Veronica's, she had this memorized at one point, right?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I had the whole passage memorized. I can still rehearse quite a bit of it, but
yeah, we had it written
I'm
down.
I'm a little rusty. I need to.
We had it written down on our chalkboard.
On our chalk wall, yeah. It was like on the whole wall in our kitchen.
I remember Veronica like walking around the house, like, you know, saying this. It was pretty cute. And so in Jewish culture, you know, this is a really important passage of scripture. And it's funny, it's not the women in the Orthodox Jewish culture, modern and ancient. You can actually YouTube videos right now of Orthodox Jews, and it's the men who memorize this passage of scripture, and they turn it into a song, and they actually sing it to their wives on the Sabbath night. And I do that actually all the time with Veronica.
No, he does not.
But yeah, this is what happens, is that the Jewish men are actually memorizing this passage of scripture so that they could sing it to their wives. And so a couple things I want to talk about. Actually, I'm going to let Veronica talk about this because, you know, just to kind of give you some clarity about what this book is all about, what the kind of structure of Proverbs is about.
Yeah, so Hebrew poetry is actually built around chronological progression. And so what that means is that the last thing on the list is typically the most important.
Yeah, it's the most important thing. And so this is a poetry book. And so there are certain poetry books in scripture. So there's you know, the Psalms, the Proverbs,
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. These are poetry books. And that's just the style of writing that they are. It doesn't mean that they're any less authoritative in the way that we should view them, but that's what they are. And chronological progression is this idea that, yeah, as Veronica said, that the last thing in a list is the most important. And so Proverbs 31 is the last proverb in the Book of Wisdom. So this is a big deal. This is a climactic piece of scripture in Jewish culture for sure. And it should be in the church. This is a climactic piece of scripture in the way that it was reading. And it means that the meaning and the definition of a godly woman should not be overlooked. Also, it's a poem. And it's an acrostic poem. And I'll explain this to you guys. And again, I promise that Veronica will get some time to talk here today, but I'm going to hit the guys, as I said earlier. It's an acrostic poem. And so the first word in each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet going on in succession. It's really quite awesome.
It's really fascinating, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. And what it means is that it's actually presenting a sense of totality. Of
completion.
Yeah, of completion of the biblical woman, the kind of A to Z godly woman. And so it's an acrostic poem. If you want to look up acrostic poems, you could check those out. So this is another thing a lot of people don't know about Proverbs 31, and I think it's just a fun thing to know about. And like any poem, you know, a good poem, it's actually drawing the focus and the attention to the things that are often overlooked. You know, this poem's not about the extravagant types of times of life. This is about the everyday, you know, and just the everyday duties of a wife.
The mundane tasks of going throughout your day. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what a wife deals with. How much of her life?
Oh, man. Well, at least the last 4 years for me.
Yeah. This
ever
is,
since I became a mom.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 9 years since we've been married.
Yeah. And so this poem, you know, it says that it's written by Lemuel. A lot of people believe that Lemuel is actually Solomon. And this is actually a record of talking about his mother, Bathsheba, and how she was a godly woman, or that it's from Bathsheba and she's actually instructing her son on how to find a godly woman. So there's lots of theories on that. But okay, so the main reason, guys, that we're talking about this is that, men, you cannot celebrate and value what you do not know to celebrate and to value. Meaning that if you don't know what a godly woman is, you're not going to be able to celebrate when you see it. You're not going to value it when you see it. And for example, let's just say that I'm in the army, and if I want to take a corporal to become a sergeant, I have to know what a sergeant requires. I have to know what that looks like. I don't know what a sergeant requires. I don't know the descriptions of a sergeant. I don't know any of that stuff. So therefore I could not take a corporal and help him become a sergeant. The same is true here, is that if you do not know what the description or how a godly woman should look, how are you ever going to lead your wife there? So that's the kind of, I guess, the main attributes of that. So anyways, I'll let Veronica talk about some of the stuff here for a bit.
Yeah, so I think for a lot of women, I know me, when I even first came across Proverbs 31, you hear about it for years and years, but when I came across it as a believer for the first time, I was just kind of instantly intimidated.
Yeah.
Like I read it and I was like, all right, well, I'm already defeated. I'm already defeated as a woman because I'm not that woman. So I just want to help encourage you guys and remind you guys that this is the description of her. It's not the doctrine to become her. Mm-hmm. And so the doctrines of a godly wife are found elsewhere in scriptures, in Titus 2, in 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians 5. So look at the character of this woman, but not necessarily the activities.
Yeah.
She's the aim, just like Christ is the aim. And work hard to become this woman, but just realize that perfection is just going to be impossible.
Yeah.
But you always have something to work towards.
Yeah. And this is a good point that she's making here, is that it's not the doctrines of her, it's the description of her. Like, you're not sinning if you don't make wool with your hands, you know, or like, you know, I don't know, some of the other scriptures, waking up early. If you're not waking up early, I mean, even though that is pretty godly to wake up early, but if you're not waking up early and, you know, doing these different things before your family wakes up, like, you're not sinning, but this is a description of her. It's not the doctrines of her. It is descriptive, not prescriptive. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So again, yeah. How are you in your own life, Veronica? Like, when you read this through, do you try to apply one of these to your life? How do you feel when you read through this description of her?
Yeah, I think when I read through it, she does a lot. She's a hard worker. Mm-hmm. She is going all out to care for her family. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people forget is that she is a wife, mm-hmm. and she is a mother. And so for me, when I read it, I just look at her character. Mm-hmm. She is a woman that is prepared. Mm-hmm. She cares for her family. You know, she laughs at the fact that winter's coming because not worried about it.
Yeah.
Her children are clothed in scarlet. And
see,
so it's just, she's prepared.
This is an impeccable woman. And it's really important that we know what this looks like. So men, pay attention for a second. We're going to read Proverbs 31:10. So the verse says, and I'm going to read this as out of the ESV, and I do ESV and New King James. Those are kind of my go-to translations. It says, "An excellent wife, who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels."
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Dale and I want to quickly tell you about one of our favorite things to do with other couples, marriage retreats.
Yeah, a few times per year, Veronica and I host 15 couples at a private resort here in the Pacific Northwest. We spend 3 days learning about the Bible and having an intimate discussion time. It is a ton of fun.
The best part is it's an all-inclusive event. Every couple gets their own cozy cabin and fireplace. We have a private chef cooking incredible food and desserts and a variety of activities available for couples to just have fun with each other.
Yeah, we can't tell you how life-changing these retreats have been for couples. So as you can tell, these retreats have very limited space. But if you're interested in spending a few days with us in the mountains here in Oregon, then please apply for one of our upcoming retreats. Just go to ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Now let's get back to the show. Daughter of a man gets a gift in return for his daughter's hand in marriage. That means this young man has to bring some sort of dowry, like some sort of value. You actually see this. Abraham sends the servant in the Old Testament, and he sends it to go get Rebekah and bring Rebekah back to Isaac. And he like douses Rebekah and her entire family with jewels and gold and all types of different stuff. This is a dowry culture. And so what this, like, scripture's actually saying to the men is that, hey, if you find a godly woman, sell everything you have.
Marry that woman.
Yeah, marry that woman. Get her. You know, it's she's more precious than jewels. And that's a big deal. Like, do whatever you can to win her heart. She's more valuable than gold and silver. Like, this is the perspective that the Bible has when a man sees a godly woman. Do whatever you can. She's actually the ultimate achievement. She's the ultimate wealth. And do you think about your wife like that, men? Do you believe that she is actually the ultimate wealth? And I think about Veronica as I go, gosh, she does so much in our home. Like you couldn't pay someone to do the things that she does. She raises our children. She loves me well. She cares for our home. She's managing our life in a perspective and in a way that I couldn't do that. She is incredibly valuable. And that's what this is saying. When you find a godly woman, man, she's worth more than your career. She's worth more than your skill set. She's worth more than anything you have. She is more valuable. You know, and it's like obviously a rarity. Like an excellent wife, like who can find her? You know, that's something that's very rare.
Yeah, I wasn't this skilled and gifted when we first got married, though. I've grown into it a lot more as I've leaned on the scriptures.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, again, you know, you cannot lead your wife to a place that you don't understand. And that's what we're talking about this today. And I mean...
And I didn't understand it either.
Yeah, and to be honest, this is pretty new to me. I mean, I just got a chance to teach on this a few months ago, and I thought, man, I need to spend more time in Proverbs 31 and understanding what a godly woman is.
Well, and just a quick note too for mothers, it gives you a layout to help guide your daughters.
Mm, totally. Yeah, we cannot underestimate this passage of scripture. And there's lots of stuff for the guys too that we will be talking about in terms of what does it mean to be a godly man. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about that in later episodes. There's a quote that I really like, and I've kind of altered it for today's conversation. It says, "Treat a woman as she is, and she will remain as she is. Treat a woman as she could be and should be, and she will become that woman." And so the idea is that, men, if you're treating your wife like she's priceless, even before she's acting and behaving in the way of a godly woman, she's going to start behaving like she's priceless. She's going to start walking that way. It's, you have to treat people the way you want them to be, not the way that they are.
Yeah. If you're feeling cherished and valued and cared for, then at least when I feel that way, I have no problem rubbing your back as you're a physical touch person and I'm not. And so I want to give you more affection and I want to care for you as best as I can. And I look for more ways how I can bless you because I have felt so much, so blessed by you.
Yeah. So if you can cherish your wife, love her, hear her, man, I'll tell you that do you have this perspective? Again, just that Proverbs 31:10 perspective, an excellent wife, who can find her? She's super rare. She is far more precious than jewels. I mean, she's far more precious than $1 million. Like that's the kind of perspective that you would have in a modern translation for that. So husbands, the greatest asset is not your job. It's not your skill set. It's not your career. It's not your money. It's not your bank account. It's not your car. It's not your house. It's the flesh and blood that is right in front of you. And that is the takeaway from that passage of scripture. So, let's talk about the between, because we're talking the beginning and the end. And Veronica's just going to hit the between.
Yeah,
here.
And the rest of the passage just kind of continues to give you an outline, like I said earlier, of a godly woman, of her value, that she's dependable, she's productive, she's confident, she's generous, mm-hmm. she's wise. And because of all of this, she is praiseworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. She is like...
Her children rise up and call her blessed.
Yeah.
As will her husband.
Yeah.
So, and again, like I said, she's a wife and she's a mother. She's working hard in the home.
Well, yeah. And a lot of people in the church forget that fact that she's actually a wife and a mother. We've kind of made her this like single entrepreneurial, like independent woman.
Totally.
And that's not what it is. It actually says in the end of this passage that she's doing these things though
that her husband will get the praise.
Yeah, well, yeah, that her husband will be praised in the gates.
He'll be known in the gates.
He'll be known in the gates. And so, like, this is when a godly woman is operating that way. She's actually, and she has a godly man who's leading her and guiding her and loving her. She's working so that her husband will be actually honored in the gates, meaning that in the city, in the community, in her own group of friends, that her husband is honored in the gates. And so this woman is not a single, you know, entrepreneurial out on her own woman. This is a married mother who is a wife and a godly woman. So
she's
she's
a keeper of the home. She provides from within the home.
Yeah.
She cares for her family to be her husband's helpmeet, basically to help fulfill the call on the husband's
life. Yeah. So she is taking care of all the things around the home so that he doesn't have to, so that he can fulfill the ministry that God has called on his life. And I'll tell you, ladies, you cannot underestimate the value of raising up those godly children and managing the matters of the home so that your husband can fulfill whatever call is on your life together. The Great Commission is being fulfilled in your home, in those little children. The Great Commission is being fulfilled in loving your husband and walking with your husband the way that the scriptures call you to walk. Go ahead, babe, and read this verse 31.
Yes, Proverbs 31, verse 31.
Yeah.
Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates.
Okay, so again, this directive is to the husbands here. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The same way you're getting that honor, buddy, make sure that your wife is getting praised in the gates. And this is actually a climactic line to the poem, because we know chronological progression, as Veronica mentioned, means that the last in a list is the most important. Mm-hmm. And so this, for some reason, God has decided that this should be the last line of the Book of Wisdom. And I thought, okay, why? Like, let's just unpack this for a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, what happens to a woman, to a godly woman, when she is neglected of the fruit of her labor and she is not praised for her work?
She becomes bitter. She becomes bitter. She's resentful. She feels unappreciated, undervalued.
Okay, these are powerful. They're easy to say, mm-hmm. but they're very deep cut wounds. Mm-hmm. When you do not give your wife the fruit of her labors and the praise that she deserves, she is bitter. She's resentful. She's undervalued. She feels unappreciated. That is the fastest way to destroy your marriage. That is for sure. But in my opinion, actually, this is a big deal. This is the failure to kind of give her those things. In my opinion, like at large, if we're talking about, you know, the millions of marriages in the church, men failing to do this on the grand level is the great cause of feminism and the ungodly form of feminism. It is a great form. It's the cause of feminism. Let me explain that. When ungodly men withhold praise of their wives and they don't value and celebrate their wives, women in general rebel. And they go and they seek out that praise and that value somewhere else. And they're going to go find that in their work. They're going to go find that in their career. They're going to go find that in the community. And when they do so, they leave the home. Mm-hmm. They leave the marriage. They leave the family. They leave motherhood. And that is exactly what's happening today. The reason the feminist movement is growing so much is it's a reaction to ungodly men, husbands, fathers, brothers, whatever it is, uncles, that are constantly not praising their daughters and wives and sisters for the work that's being done. The home is a horrible place for many women. And that's a sad thing. It's not how God designed it. The home is a beautiful place for a woman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get the opportunity as a woman to make that your place of restoration, your place of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
A safe haven for your children, for your husband to come home from work and want to relax and just enjoy being in the home.
Yeah, this is like the core of a woman's ministry. And it's like the way that the culture has, I guess, viewed this. Dude, women are no joke. A godly wife, you look at this Proverbs 31 woman, she is way more intense than almost every man you know. in terms of just up early, down late, just constantly caring, boom, pouring out. I mean, you just actually see like, wow, this God designed this incredible creature.
Proverbs 31, but let me see, I have the scripture right here. In 27, the second part of it says, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Mm. She is not a lazy woman. Mm-mm. She is working in the home.
Yeah. So any woman who thinks.
And serving.
And serving, yeah. Well. It's not just doing the right thing. It's having the right heart. Mm-hmm. And so
but I say serving because it's not, obviously you're serving your family, but you're also serving your community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's
the poor.
And the poor. Mm-hmm. And she's also like, just, yeah, she's not like, she doesn't like martyr herself. She also like takes care of herself. She mm-hmm. dresses well. Like, I mean, dude, this woman is awesome. And so we've forgotten this in the church. And men, the reason we've forgotten it is because you've forgotten it. We need to show our wives what we cannot take our wives to a place that we do not understand. So you need to understand what this Proverbs 31 woman is and help her understand that. Help guide her there. Show her how much you value that. So show her how much, you know, love you have for a woman that walks that way, and remind her what the Lord says about a woman who walks in that manner.
Yeah. And a woman walking in that manner, obviously the husband has a huge influence in that. Mm-hmm. And so when your husband's influencing you to do that, and you have a heart to be this woman, you start doing those things. And before you know it, your daughter's going to be imitating you. Our daughters, our children in general, are major imitators. They copy everything that we do. They copy everything that their older siblings do.
Yeah.
That's just what little kids do. And if they see their mom caring for the home, loving their husband, caring for themselves, mm-hmm. your children are going to just do that automatically.
Aria wants to clean the dishes already. She's not even 5 yet.
Yeah, she washes the dishes. She sweeps the floors. Lately, she's been brushing her hair and coming out, dressing herself, and it's really cute.
Yeah, she wants to care for herself. She's modeling after mom. And so are your children seeing that? Or are you sleeping in past your children and the house is kind of messy all the time? And, you know, like, again, this is the status of your ministry in your home as a wife.
Also, there are seasons. I would just want to say, just because some women might hear that and feel just really heavy, this weight. There are seasons where your house is not going to be spotless.
Sure.
This for us is one of those seasons. You know, I mean, we had a miscarriage last week. And so there are times where I was in bed for mm-hmm. multiple days in a row and yep. I couldn't keep up with the house. And Dale did the best he could, but he's not mom and he's not going to get all the details like I can. And so, so there's going to be seasons and you're going to have days where you're going to need to play catch up this week, this yesterday and today and tomorrow. I'm going to be playing catch up on the things that I wasn't able to get to last week.
Yep.
So give yourself grace too, because there are seasons where you're not going to be able to do everything.
Yeah. I promise that this Proverbs 31 woman, whether that was Bathsheba or someone else, I promise that at some point she had the flu, you know, and she was sick and throwing up and had to sit down and not get the things that she had to get done. And that happens, you know, those things happen. So I want to break down the scripture just real quick. Then we'll jump into our questions for today. It says, and let her works praise her in the gates. What it's saying here is that husbands, let what your wife does be known and be praised as a memorial to her publicly, like public praise, like talk good about your wife often and just be proud of her. That is something that we need to do more. Remind yourself, talk well about your wife often and in public. It's also great adultery repellent. In terms of that and your wedding ring, talk well about your wife and wearing a wedding ring. And yeah, you're not going to have any issues of women throwing themselves on you. They're just going to go, oh my gosh, I want a husband like that.
And hey, if you're a words of affirmation person, then you're going to just feel all kinds of butterflies in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And let her example kind of be held forth in all places. This is just the role of the husband. Let her masterpiece example be known, not to just the eyes of the men, but to the eyes and ears of the other younger women, to the other wives, to the other mothers. Like, let her example be shown and seen and praised. Because we need to recreate this culture in the church where, wow, look at, she's the mark. look at that woman over there. And it's a man talking about his wife and praising his wife and the men talking about the godly wives and what they do and how great they are and how awesome they are. What a culture we could create in the church if we start talking about the women doing godly activities more than we do now. And again, lastly, if your wife is not a Proverbs 31 woman, it's likely that she's not married to a man who knows how to lead her there. And so that's the problem. So if you know, you're called as to be the leader of your home and to be the head of the wife and not remember equal value, different role, equal value, different role. You're called to be the head of the wife, men, which means that you need to be able to know where you're going and where your wife needs to be. So you want to lead her there.
Do memory verse first?
No, let's do our questions in our memory verse. Yeah, so let's do, we have questions. We do this every episode. That was kind of like an abrupt ending, huh? Like, boom, we're done.
That's why I was going to transition into this memory verses.
Oh, Veronica's smarter than me. Okay, so we'll do the memory verse. All right, so every week we give you guys a verse to memorize. And we expect you guys to do that. So Veronica's going to give the ladies their verse.
Yeah, so ladies, you have to memorize Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. I'm just kidding. The whole passage. You can do it. I've done it before. So you can do it. No, but seriously. Where am I? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong section.
Proverbs 31. Walking away from her microphone.
Sorry, I'm really bad at remembering that I need to talk into a microphone. Ladies, Proverbs 31, 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised.
Yeah, this is a...
See, that's an easy one. That's a good one.
It's a good one. And just remember that. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to read it again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Awesome. Okay, guys, listen up. You're going to remember verse 31:10, but I'm with Veronica on this. You guys should read the whole thing at the very minimum of verses 10 to 31. And I'd be kind of shocked if you guys memorize it. I actually...
You should. And the way I did it was I focused on 2 to 3 verses a day.
Yep.
Section by section. And so when I needed to memorize these three verses today and tomorrow I needed to memorize the next three. But at the end of the day, I need to be able to say all six in.
Yeah. And
order,
even though you don't have it fully memorized, maybe right this second, you have all the sections kind of.
Oh yeah.
Like
I
the language.
Kind of piece them together. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's in her
memory. I want to memorize it again though.
So verse 31:10, is an excellent wife. Who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels. So again, just keeping that perspective, men. Again, that's verse 31:10. Okay, so at the end of every session, we do questions that people send in to us. And if you want to send some questions for the podcast, just write support@ultimatemarriage.com and the subject line, just put podcast question and give us some questions. We actually are always low on questions.
Yeah, we don't get enough questions.
Yeah,
come on, guys.
Please, yeah, please send us some. Veronica's got one
and
I got one.
We do have them, but yeah, there's not very many to choose from. So I've gotten this question a few times and it's, how do I deal with my husband who on occasions will bring up past faults in a current argument?
I'm letting you go for it.
So when Dale and I have a issue that needs to be talked about, we set time aside for that. We, not that it hasn't ever happened before because it has, but we try very hard not to have just these like abrupt arguments. We set time aside to have a conversation about it, especially if our kids are around. We do not argue in front of our children. And so if something kind of rises up while our kids are around, we say, hey, like we need to talk about this later.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about it later.
Yep.
So in that time that we set aside, we also stay focused on the offense or
the one,
the issue, the one offense. We do not allow ourselves to bring up past arguments or past issues. We're like, well, you did this and this and this, so whatever I did can't be that bad or something. So we just try and stay focused on the one issue.
Yeah.
You don't bring up past things. It's just because you're bringing up past things. You know, we're supposed to forgive others like Christ forgave you. And so if we have already settled that argument and we've already forgiven each other, bringing it back up actually means that you haven't really forgiven that person.
Yeah. It's advertising your bitterness
mm-hmm.
and your lack of forgiveness actually. And what does it say in scripture? It says, hey men, or it says, if you forgive those who trespass against you, your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive those who have trespassed against you, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Mm-hmm. How many unforgiven people are in heaven? Not any, I think. I mean, that's my understanding of it. So I just go, if you're not forgiving your spouse, I mean, sure, there's a proper process of forgiveness, but if you're like holding bitterness, that scripture should definitely freak you out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like what Veronica said there is that, yeah, it's just showing that. One thing that Veronica does that's really awesome is that she will, if she has an issue, she'll say, "Hey, babe, tonight I'd like to talk to you about something." And I, one, it sets me in a posture of, okay, I'm preparing my heart and myself to be in self-control and to be humble.
And to not be reactive or defensive right off the bat because you have time to think about what's to come.
Yeah. And if it's not a big deal, she'll say, "Hey, it's not a big deal, but I just want to bring something up to you." And so I know, okay, cool. You know, and we go and that night we sit down, we're, you know, the kids are in bed and she'll say, "Hey, this happened and this bothered me." We can have a discussion and sometimes there's tears and sometimes there's conversation and sometimes there's, just, you know, humility and "I'm so sorry about that" and forgiveness. But we don't ever like yell at each other. I mean, that's so rare that happens.
Not anymore.
Yeah. We used to.
We used to, but no.
Remember this quote, guys, you can't argue with a humble person. Mm-hmm. And so if you're yelling at each other, it's because there's at least one prideful person in the room. Okay. Question for Dale. How long have you left your kids and do you believe it's important to have kid-free vacations? We've left our kids for 2 nights. That's been the most we've left our kids.
One time for two nights.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is very dependent on the age of your children. Mm-hmm. When they're little, us personally, we don't feel comfortable leaving them for longer than 2 nights.
And 2 nights is even hard for me.
It's hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did that because we had a marriage retreat for 2 nights. We've done it because we're having a baby for a night or two.
Oh, yeah.
We have taken some kid-free vacations. We'll go like...
I don't know if you call it vacation. It's just a night away.
Yeah,
because we haven't done a lot.
We'll do a night away and we'll go to a local resort, mm-hmm, that's like, you know, 30 to 45 minutes away from our house. And we'll do those kid-free vacations. The thing what I'm trying to lead at here is that we have to be careful that we're not outsourcing our parenting and or escaping our responsibilities. Now, I do believe that couples should do a kid-free getaway at least once a year for at least one night, maybe two, maybe even three. It depends on your kids. Do you have really great grandparents in town?
Yeah, it depends on your kids, on their maturity, and it also depends on who you're leaving them with.
Yeah.
Because whoever you're leaving them with is going to have an influence in their life, is going to have a huge influence in their life.
Yeah, so there's so many variables. But yes, in general, we do think that you should do that. I think it's a blessing to pour into your marriage, to have that time away. We have to remember, though, that vacations are a very modern idea. So like, I don't think that in the 1500s, people were really concerned with, "Oh man, I didn't get to take my vacation this year." So just remember that we don't need vacations. They're a blessing. And
I would say just examine your heart going into it. Like, is your heart, "I need to get away from these kids"?
Yeah.
Or is it, "You know what? I love our kids, but I think you and I really need some time to connect."
Yeah. We need some investment time with each, mm-hmm, other. That is exactly the core of that. So yeah, in general, yes, we like that idea. Okay. A few things before we close out. One is, again, just a reminder, if you guys would leave us a review, those reviews are really important. Just hit the stars. You don't even need to write something unless you want to write something. That'd be great. We read every one of those reviews. So if you write something, we will read it. And this episode is available at ultimatemarriage.com. And so you can just go and you just click on the menu and you click on podcasts and we have all the show notes. We have all the quotes, the one-liners that we might've said today, all the scriptures that we referenced, your memory verse, all that stuff's available for you guys to see. The video's there so you can watch it there. The audio's there. You can download it there. It's all there at ultimatemarriage.com. I think that's it for this episode. We're excited. I have a whole list of really cool topics that we're going to be rolling out for the next future episodes. So if you guys have any ideas, send them to us. We'd really love to hear your ideas for a show. Do a show on this. Do a show on that. It's hard to do a show every single week. Mm-hmm. But on that note, I think we're done.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our one-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage. Hey, Dale Partridge here. Last year, I heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. You see, the vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Now, let's dive back into the show.